Joining us on the KSL Newsline with some insight into this process is former Health and Human Services Secretary and our former Utah Governor, Mike Leavitt. So good to talk to you, Governor.
Thank you. Good morning.
We read that House Speaker Paul Ryan is saying that lawmakers should stand with our president and vote to end this Obamacare nightmare once and for all. Do you believe that's true?
Well, I believe that the healthcare system can be improved. It's an iterative process that we're going through. It looks like right now that this is all about changing what happened in 4 years. This is a 10-year discussion, and we're just continually iterating, and I think there will be improvements made. I don't think it'll look like Obamacare never happened. There will be changes made to the system. The words repeal and replace is a kind of slogan that's directionally aimed. They're not going to be able to repeal the law like it never happened.
I know, Governor, that you had spoken in Orlando a little bit earlier this year, and you were talking about how long, as you just kind of mentioned, how long this is going to take to, you know, really repeal this, to replace. I mean, we're talking about tax credits, and the IRS is going to be involved. This isn't a very simple process, is it?
It's not. It's a complicated process, but it's also worth remembering that this is 20% of the entire economy, and transformation or changes in that big of a piece of the economy don't happen quickly. They shouldn't happen quickly. This is a two-decade process at minimum. And we're probably halfway into it. And there are changes that need to take place. But we're going through the political sausage-making right now, and everybody's focused on it. And it looks like that this is just the moment. This is just one of many moments, and there'll be many moments in the future. And I think the healthcare system will be made better by the result of it.
So does that mean then that the American Healthcare Act, in its present form, is a good enough step forward in the sausage making process that it ought to be voted for with a thumbs up tomorrow?
Well, let's keep in perspective what's happening here. They're trying to pass this bill through the House of Representatives. The bill that comes out of the House of Representatives will be substantially further to the right, if you politically speaking, than the Senate will ever go along with. But they have to get something through the House, so they will continue to do what they have to do to get the votes. And I think in reality they'll get them. They'll probably leave the vote open on the floor for several hours, and they'll be out making deals and trying to get people onto a yes vote. Once they do that, then it has to go to the Senate, and it'll start all over again. And their views are substantially more moderate than what the House will ultimately pass. And once the Senate then passes their version, they have to go into what's called a conference committee, where they'll have a much smaller group who will try to work together to come up with something that a majority of the House and the Senate can come up with. So there's a lot of process that has to go on here. But I think what most of us need to think about is the fact that this is a process to try to make the healthcare system better. I think in time, changes will be made to the Affordable Care Act that will make it better.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with former Health and Human Services Secretary and former Utah Governor Mike Leavitt. Governor, the Republicans have had a really long time to try to figure out exactly what they wanted their replacement for Obamacare to look like, at least 8 years. Does this feel a little bit rushed, even with that amount of time, trying to, you know, say, okay, here's what we're going to do once we get into office?
Well, again, there's some very practical dynamics that play out here. If you let it go on too long, then it gets harder. And there's that old saying about thank heaven for the last minute, or a lot of things wouldn't get done. There has to be some back pressure to bring people to a conclusion. Otherwise, they'll put it off for a long time. These ideas have been discussed. It's a matter of what can you pass? What can you get a majority of the Congress to agree on?
I think as people listen to us, Governor, what they're really concerned about is how much will my premiums be?
Well, that's a logical question for most people to be asking. I think as we move forward, there will be changes. I think it's likely that those who are older who have received a lot of relief from what's known as community rating, where they're basically saying that no premium dollar, that no older person who's in poor health should pay more than $3 for every $1 that a younger, healthier person would pay. They're likely to change that to be something like $5 to one, as opposed to $3 to one. And that could have the effect of having some who are older paying a little more. It could mean that more people who are younger would be willing then to get into what they refer to as the risk pool. These are kind of technical, jargony conversations, but I think that the truth of the matter is that, on average, it will probably begin to reduce premiums for some and increase them for others.
Do you think American healthcare is moving in the right direction right now? I mean, in the next 10, maybe even 20 years, where do you see healthcare going in this country?
Well, I frankly do think that this is moving the needle in the right way. The most important thing that I think is happening isn't necessarily being talked about a lot, and it's changing the way healthcare is paid for. And any of us who've received a hospital bill know that it'll be 150 or 200 different items, and you can't make any sense of it. They're trying to change that now to pay on the basis of actual value that's generated, so that insurance companies are paying hospitals not just when people get sick, but try to help them to stay healthy. And in the long run, that will drive the cost of health care down.
What do you say, Governor, to the criticism that this law to repeal and replace benefits the wealthy? Does it benefit the wealthy?
You know, they're referencing, when people say that, they're generally referencing two things. The first is the tax provisions that were used to pay for it. And I think that there's always that debate always takes place when you start talking about who's going to pay for it. I've found that there are three issues that generally become the focus in a moment like this. One is who matters? In other words, who's going to get benefit? The second is who pays? Are we going to have one group pay for another group? And the last one is who gets to decide? And all three of those are very much alive here. This is a big chunk of the economy. It's a big chunk of how we spend our income. And there's no question that there are people in the middle class who feel like that their lives are being taxed to pay for those who are less fortunate than them. There are people who believe that those who have more money should be willing to pay a bit more. I tend to believe that those who are doing well are going to continue to do well, and that we ought not to go too far in that direction.
Boy, Governor, it sure has been a pleasure speaking with you this morning. Thanks for joining us on Utah's Morning News.
Well, thank you for having me on.